Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce the crew, guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Sheriff Mark Kreider all the way from Walla Walla County in the state of Washington. Wine country, basically. At least that's what he tells me. And then we've got Dr. Travis Shates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department, and also the author of The Courageous Police Leader. So thanks for being back on the show, Doctor. And he's also the founder of lawofficer.com. So you got to love that as well. So thank you, Travis. Hey, shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. They got the banner behind me. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15. Guys, I mean, you can run through life now and always have, if you can just memorize the Radio 15 or get a hold of us, you've always got 15% off at Gulls.com. So it's a great deal. ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and TubeBells.com that built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check that out. You can get cool gear like the mug behind me or shirts, hats, all kinds of stuff that we have. Also, a shout out to all the guys that are helping us out with the show, making it big and what it is today. Travis Yates, our very own from LawOfficer.com. And did I use the correct name when I named your website earlier? Did I say Law Officer Travis or did I say something else?
Yeah, lawofficer.com.
I did. Okay. I want to make sure I got it right. So, but lawofficer.com, formerlawman.com, that's Ray Dietrich, and also TampaFP.com, which is the Tampa Free Press with Brian Burns. So thanks to all those guys. And, you know, Scott Stewart's always telling me, you know, our Green Beret Delta Force guy, to always say the outlets on pod. He's a big podcaster. So yeah, if there's a podcast platform, Leo Roundtable is going to be on it. But specifically, we are on Spotify and Apple iTunes, which are two of the biggest. And then social media, again, we're probably going to be on it. If you're on it, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, formerly X, True Social, we're on all those and many more. So if you want to watch the show and want to find out the most up-to-date way to find it out, go to our website, leoroundtable.com, top menu bar. It's got listings of all the outlets that we're on with links to all of them. So that said, let's go to the event list of what we're going to be talking about. Speaking of events, we've got the White House UFC fight. We were just talking about that, but Ohio parents foil a 19-year-old's plot to attack the White House UFC event with explosive drones. I got to tell you, I found out about this from my wife. I was buried in the news and doing show prep and stuff, and she told me about this, and she said that there were, you know, a bunch of people that were, you know, caught up in this. And I said, well, there's no, it must have been some extremist group or you know, like I'm thinking, you know, radical Muslims or whatever, or people from Iran. And it's not the case, you know, and it just, it kind of blows my mind. So, and Sheriff Mark Kreider, formerly with the FBI, he might be able to shed some light on that, but I was kind of taken aback by, you know, who was involved in this thing. We've also got another story. You know, I'm not going to cover the leaked 14-point draft. I don't know if the information is accurate, and we covered a lot of that yesterday. But we do have the feds indict 15 Antifa members for conspiring to injure federal officers. And this is all from Minneapolis, which I love. We've got hot grease and a stabbing. I want to include this because I'm always talking about the, well, you know, back in the 80s, you know, you've had a lot of black families, black women that this is their MO for being upset at, you know, their boyfriends, their husbands and stuff. And a lot of people that weren't working in the projects and stuff aren't familiar with it. It's like, you know, it's like foreign to them. They think that I'm just making this stuff up. And we've got a cop that just got convicted for shooting someone that was throwing a pot of boiling water on himself and his partner. And he's sitting in a jail cell because of this. So I'm just going to use this as another reminder that it's a very real thing that you've got to be aware of. And also, you decide beforehand whether or not you're justified in using lethal force or not in a situation like that. We got a Miami police officer fatally shooting a suspect when he runs through apartments armed with a gun. The guy ran out of his shoes. That was pretty comical. We got a suicidal woman fatally shot when she enters the home with two large knives. And then if we have time to get to it, Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office releases a body cam of a deputy shooting an armed 15-year-old, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and jump to it. Gentlemen, the first story, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Ohio parents foil a 19-year-old's plot to attack the White House UFC event with explosive drones. I got to admit, Sheriff, I'm a little bit surprised at the story. It's pretty in-depth. It's from our, you know, our buddy Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press, but an Ohio teenager faces multiple federal charges after his parents tipped off local law enforcement about his bulk weapons purchases, leading the FBI to uncover a coordinated plot to attack a weekend sporting event at the White House lawn using explosive-laden drones and snipers. Yeah, there's other guys involved. And he gives his name. I'm not going to entertain what he wants, but this bad guy from Knox County, Ohio, was charged in a federal criminal complaint filed on Monday in the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Ohio. The counts against him include conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States, of course, possession of a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence, and attempted murder of an officer or employee of the United States. And according to the documents that the court has, our bad guy confessed to being a team leader in an extremist group planning an assassination and bombing plot aimed at a UFC event scheduled for Sunday at the White House, June the 14th, where the president and members of Congress were in attendance. The investigation started on the evening of June the 10th when the bad guy's mother calls the Knox County Sheriff's Office and the Danville Police Department to report a domestic disturbance. And when the officers get there, the father informs them that his son had recently spent about $3,000 of his graduation money to get tactical gear, ballistic plates, camping equipment, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. Now, the family, they must have been suspicious. The family voluntarily turned over the AR-style rifle, a bullpup rifle painted with an American flag, and a shotgun to the police. So I'm sure he wasn't happy when he got home after that happened. The bad guy's father told responding officers that his teenage son had recently quit his job, preparing to travel over the upcoming weekend. They meet individuals that he was interacting with online, and they were going to do missions and recons together. And then after the encounter, local police transported this bad guy to a hospital under, it's a mental crisis self-submission thing, and they got a hold of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. In the follow-up interview with the FBI on June 11th, which is actually literally the next day, the bad guy's mother stated that her son had recently aligned himself with an online group claiming to be ex-military and Christian base, which makes, again, no sense to me. The group communicated ultra-religious and anti-government grievances, specifically focused on government corruption, the handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files and data centers that are consuming water supplies, you know, because of AI. Family members also noted that the bad guy became increasingly isolated, got anti-Semitic on Facebook and social media, was praising Adolf Hitler. The feds executed a warrant on June the 11th, that same day, at his home, got his Apple iPhone, and then they started discovering group chats, encrypted stuff. They went Signal and Simplex, and they're talking about imagery of the National Capital Region and maps and places to launch drones and sniper positions, all kinds of detailed stuff. And during an interview conducted by the feds at a medical facility on June the 11th, he detailed the mechanics of the planned attack, stated that the group originally formed back in March of 2026, not long ago, on a TikTok group called Vanguard of the Old, before they moved to encrypted platforms. He explained that the plan was to fly small unmanned drones, aircraft with explosive devices over the north side of the White House UFC event. And then when the detonations go off, the crowd is supposed to panic and go alongside, including high-value targets, and going to go to the south side for the evacuation, where they've got snipers waiting and shooters equipped with long guns to open fire on the fleeing crowd. It goes on and on about other stuff and the data in his phone and stuff, but this is just amazing. We got a little over 3 minutes before our first commercial break. Sheriff Kreider, you want to start us off on this one?
Well, as most of you know, I'm pretty skeptical of the FBI typically, but I will say at least there's going to be no allegations that the FBI lured these people into this whole operation with undercovers and stuff, because it doesn't sound like they had anybody that had infiltrated the group. It sounds fairly sophisticated. Now, the big question is whether or not these individuals had the ability to provide that the technical portion of what they're claiming they could do with drones. Did they have the drones? Did they have access to the drones? Did they have access to the explosives and the like? It's interesting. I was just back in that neck of the woods, and Knox County is in the county next to where I grew up and actually where my dad was born. So I'm going to, And I went through the National Sheriff's Academy with the sheriff of Knox County. So he'll be getting a phone call here shortly. I didn't even realize it was in Knox County. But this just goes to show you kind of what social media and and the communications capabilities of iPhones and modern capabilities of encryption have done to this, you know, to provide fairly unsophisticated groups sophisticated abilities that thwart law enforcement and make it much more difficult to do our job. So I'll be interested to see how this investigation plays out and to see what level of sophistication we really have, you know, from a 19-year-old that maybe his military experience is that he's a level six on Call of Duty, that he doesn't really have any real military experience. But very interesting case. And whether or not they had the ability to pull this off or not, the mere fact that they were planning this, and obviously a right-wing group, as you can tell from all the things that they're against.
Well, thanks, Sheriff. I'm curious.
That was sarcasm, by the way, because Travis was looking confused when I said right-wing group.
That was for you, Travis. I mean, I'm just... I would love to have seen what would have happened if one drone went up in D.C. proper right before that event, because I'm sure the entire airspace was shut down for that open air event. These weren't the smartest cookies in the bunch, that's for sure, with their cockamamie, whatever plan they had. So fortunately, somebody heard something, said something, reported something, and here we are.
All right, perfect timing, gentlemen. We're coming up on our first commercial break. And, we just got done talking about the UFC fight. But, hey, we've got a commercial coming up involving our title sponsor, Golf. And we're going to give out that discount code again. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Golf, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, and also Dr. Travis Shates, retired Tulsa police major. So thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. And, you know, we left off. I'm talking about the UFC event and the planned aerial, maneuvers from armed drones, and then the snipers in place. So, Sheriff brought up some good points about did they have the capability to actually carry this out. I'm sure we'll get more information, you know, as time goes on. But our next one, the feds have been busy because according to the DailySignal.com, they've indicted 15 Antifa members for conspiring to injure federal officers. Now, the news article is short and sweet. The Department of Justice on Tuesday announced that 15 individuals affiliated with two Minneapolis-based Antifa groups. So, yeah, it always seems like we end up back in Minneapolis, doesn't it? But these two Antifa groups are from Minneapolis. They're based at least there. They've been federally indicted on charges of conspiring to impede or to injure federal officers. And here's a quote from Daniel Rosen, U.S. Attorney for the District of Minnesota. He said that today a federal indictment was unsealed, charging 15 defendants with conspiracy to impede or injure federal officers and other charges related to the efforts of two Minneapolis-based Antifa groups. Remember, it encompasses about 15 people that violently opposed to enforce the enforcement of federal law in our state. And this is during a press conference. So I love the fact that they're hitting Minneapolis hard, because remember, just months ago, the feds are having to roll in. ICE is rolling in with Border Patrol as a backup because there's no Minneapolis cops taking care of business and controlling the protesters and the people that are the agitators. And so now Border Patrol has to show up. And so we end up shooting Renee Good and the other guy, Alex Preddy, because of that. So now Antifa's being charged and federally. Travis, I would think that would give them a pucker factor. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, they just didn't get the message that the administration changed, because in the previous 4 years, we saw just outrageous acts after another, whether it's Portland or Seattle or all the other places they would pop up. So, well, what is really disheartening is just the lies coming from Minnesota, the politicians. I mean, I saw them talking yesterday about these were peaceful protesters and Trump's going after them and they're just observers. First off, it took an indictment from a grand jury. And second off, we all have high definition video of what they were doing. So can we just stop with the lies? It's okay to say those, that group Antifa, whoever are a bunch, or I mean, it's okay to not agree with them. Just because they're on your ball team doesn't mean you have to agree with all their actions. But the truth is, this was endorsed by a lot of the politicians out of Minnesota. I mean, in their own words, they said their job was to run ICE out of the town, right? So, I just get so sick and tired of the lies, and then like half the country that believes the lies. It's just crazy.
Well, gentlemen, you know, we have a post from over on Rumble. I know that the sheriff was talking about being able to. We were talking about signals and getting news from different sources and whether or not we're going to be going network or not. So MVS in Colorado has confirmed that there are mountains in the way of the signal. And now I understand, because I'm in Florida, we don't have mountains or really big hills. So I've been thinking, how in the world could that possibly be? But yeah, there are things called mountains that occasionally, when I go on a trip, I will see from a distance. So that makes sense. All of a sudden, the light bulb's going off. So on this last story, any more commentary on the 15 Antifa members that are getting a friendly reminder that there's Trump 2.0s in charge instead of Trump 1.0 or, well, really, Biden, Sheriff?
Well, I'll beat the drum just because I live in the great state of Washington, and we have the same rules of not cooperate. We're legally not allowed to assist ICE. Obviously, we can go in if there's a public safety issue. But if we did the safe, secure transfer of illegal aliens inside the jails, and the local jails cooperated with the federal authorities to remove people that have been arrested on state charges, not on immigration charges, on state criminal charges, and are currently being housed in local jails, if we allowed ICE to file those detainers and come pick those people up, it would be safer for the ICE agents, it would be safer for the illegal aliens, and it would be safer for the public, because there would be no protests involved in that situation. So this is being orchestrated by your elected officials, by the policies that they put in place for local police agencies.
Wow, that broke it down pretty simply too. Wow. All right, so in other words, control it at the polls, guys. This is what you're getting, what you're voting for. So moving along, gentlemen, I think we've got an update story that we haven't covered yet that I'd like to get to. We just have a couple minutes, so maybe just enough time to cover that before our next commercial break. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Hot grease and stabbing. Michigan drive-through dispute ends in attempted murder charges. So this is how they roll at this restaurant. And I don't even know that they put the name of the restaurant in, but it's in Detroit. So a messed up drive-through order at a Detroit restaurant escalated into a violent brawl involving hot grease and a stabbing, leaving an employee in emergency surgery and two sisters facing attempted murder charges. So according to Click on Detroit, the incident happened on May the 30th, fast food restaurant. Prosecutors say that 29-year-old Brianna Long and her 26-year-old sister, Karina Long, they got angry because they got the wrong food in a drive-thru. So instead of just asking for a refund, they allegedly went inside the store to confront the 23-year-old worker, I guess, that had given it to them. An argument spins out of control. Prosecutors say the sisters shove their way. They go behind the counter. They start chasing the employee through the kitchen, who's another female, by the way. They toss pots and pans at her. And during the chaos, one of the sisters now, they reportedly pick up a pot of boiling grease and they hurl it at the worker's head. All right, wow. So trying to defend herself, the employee, what does she do? She throws a knife towards the sisters. Prosecutors say that Kiriana Long, she grabs the same knife from the ground, and then she ends up stabbing the worker in the stomach, the one that threw it at her. And now bleeding, the employee manages to run outside. She hides in a car, And she calls police. Paramedics rush to the hospital for emergency surgery. The sisters fled the restaurant. They end up being tracked down and arrested shortly afterwards. And there's some more. I'll tell you what, I couldn't even get through the whole story, and I tried. So look, we're going to take our second commercial break. We'll come back. I'll finish just a little bit left on this, and then we'll discuss it. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about Comply Technologies at complytechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. You know, they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries. No deaths. An amazing statistic. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or to a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplyTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Comply Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplyTechnologies.com today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by, we've got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. We've got active Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State. So thank you, gentlemen. You know, I didn't quite have time to finish it, but we left off talking about a story. Hot grease and stabbing, Michigan drive-through dispute ends in an attempted murder charge. We've got two sisters that get the wrong order, apparently. And they force their way into the restaurant behind the counter, and now they're throwing pots and pans at the female who apparently gave them the wrong order. And then it escalates. They throw a pot of boiling water at the female's head. She responds by throwing a knife at one of the sisters, which apparently doesn't do the trick. So they pick it up and then they stab her with it, and she goes out of the restaurant, hides in a car. And paramedics take her for emergency surgery. The sisters flee the restaurant. They end up getting tracked down and arrested shortly afterwards. Their defense attorneys, however, are pointing the finger back at the worker. Of course, it's the worker's fault. The defense claims that the employee was the actual aggressor who threw items at the sisters first. And according to their attorneys, the worker sparked the physical fight after telling the women that she didn't give a F about their wrong food order. So yeah, I guess the verbal confrontation would be enough to, you know, to justify that the sisters were defending themselves with weapons, right? Yeah. Brianna Long was 9 months pregnant during the fight and actually gave birth just days after being taken into custody. She was one of the bad girl sisters. Both women are currently locked up. Brianna, you know, the one with the baby, the kid doesn't stand a chance. Her bond's only $25K. And then her sister, Kiriana, is being held on $50,000 bond. They're scheduled to face the judge on June 17th, which is today, and to answer the charges of assault to intent to murder and all the other stuff that they're being charged with. Come on, who's going to take? I know you guys are thinking, who's going to take this first? There's no like Travis. Yes, I'm glad you won. You drew the short straw. I'm sorry.
Travis started off. There is significant outrage at the drive-through. You know, what's the old Seinfeld episode? You always get screwed at the drive-thru. But I'm not saying what they did was right. I'm just telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
The outrage is real at times at the drive-thru. So you have to stick to certain drive-thrus, right? Because I don't think McDonald's has ever gotten a drive-thru correct. Chick-fil-A is pretty good. I've only been burned once in about 12,000 times there. So they've got a pretty good track record, but honestly, this story is not unique. You hear about this every once, you know, a few times a month around the country. These people just lose their mind at the drive-thru. So,
well, the hot grease is what really maybe want to cover, because we've got a cop sitting in a jail cell because you know what? There's so many flags on that story. I probably should just memorize the agency and the cop's name, because when we covered that story, and I'm sure you guys remember it, the body cam they used, it took them, I mean, like 6-8 months to release the other body cam video, but the body cam we're looking at is from the other cop, not the one that she was throwing I guess they gave us the best angle about her coming up with a pot of boiling water, but they used the wrong body cam, number one, so it wasn't as incriminating. And it was the other cop really that ended up shooting her when she was coming up from behind the counter with a pot of boiling water. And you don't have to be in fear of death in order to use deadly force. Great bodily injury will do the trick. And let me tell you, a pot of boiling water or grease, like in the case of the story we're covering right now, that'll cut it. And I would have shot that chick all day long. And I would have been justified here in Florida, and especially due to my background with seeing the after effects of females throwing hot grease or hot water, boiling water on people. I mean, when you went to the projects, you would see these guys that would have their skin would be bleached white. And that's exactly what happened. They either had potash, boiling water, or grease thrown on them, and it changed the pigmentation permanently. A lot of times it was on the face because that's where they would get it thrown at and stuff. It was just crazy. So seeing this and the women finding it and going back to, I mean, how many people think about grabbing a pot of boiling grease and throwing it at a victim during a fight? I mean, you know, it's just, but that's, I'll tell you, it still happens today. So sure.
I would just like to point out a couple inconsistencies and common sense stuff. I would love to sit down with the attorney that graduated from law school and thinks that the aggressor is the worker inside the building that was pursued from somebody in the drive-thru. Now, let's think about this. Your drive-thru order is messed up. You pull around and then you go inside, and the person on the inside of the building is the aggressor in that situation. I will tell you that we did have a very similar story in the state of Wisconsin when I was stationed there. And we actually had a law enforcement official, a command staff official, that she was practicing safe aggression because she took her duty weapon off and handed it to her 15-year-old niece and tried to crawl through the drive-through window to go after the person that had screwed up their order.
I was wondering why the FBI was involved, but I'm not going to ask you why.
We were not involved. Although you could make an argument that that would be an interstate transportation a Hobbs Act. It's interference of interstate commerce, because obviously they get their stuff from somewhere. But
wow.
You can't make some of this stuff up.
So, and Travis, I know that your mic was unmuted. Now you're muted. But Sheriff, do you have, in Walla Walla County, you have, I'm assuming you have drive-thrus and stuff like that there.
I can tell you, Travis, the few occasions that I actually used the drive-thru, I've yet to have an order that wasn't perfect when I went through the drive-thru.
Are you wearing a uniform?
You should be avoiding fast food at all costs, you know?
I knew that was coming, Travis, and I apologize. And you did, at least you said Chick-fil-A, which is on the healthier side. So
listen, you can get 30 grilled nuggets at Chick-fil-A, and it's like 300 calories and 40 grams of protein.
I'm
not saying I get that every time. I'm just saying it's an option.
I would say that if we had a Chick-fil-A, I probably would be close to Travis's record on drive-thrus, because I am a Chick-fil-A. Whenever I fly, I try and go through Minneapolis just because I know they have a Chick-fil-A in the airport.
Did he just say that he tries to go through Minneapolis? Did he just really say that?
The airport is safe.
Okay.
You don't leave the confines of the airport.
You're not venturing outside. Okay. All right. I have renewed faith in you now. Okay. All right, guys, moving along. We've got a couple of stories with video components that we're going to cover next year. So our first one, Rumble.com, and this is Butters, the name of the channel, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Miami police officers, you know, they do it differently in Miami. They fatally shoot a suspect when he runs through apartments armed with a gun. I got some interesting notes on this. We got just under 3 minutes before our third commercial break, but City of Miami, we have units responding on Tuesday afternoon, according to the officials there.
Don't reach! Back the fuck up! Don't fucking move!
Hey!
Watch out!
Hey. We have undercover officers. They're doing a surveillance in the area. They're looking for a wanted offender in connection with a shooting that happened on Sunday. And so the detectives determined that the individual that discharged the firearm is a convicted felon, so he's a prohibited person. And this is according to Miami Police Chief Manny Morales. So they approach the offender who's outside next to a car, and there's a foot pursuit. This dude, and I mean, he's next to this car. And then these cool cars roll in, and guys are bailing out. And dude, he knows the gig is up. So he turns around, he starts running. But when he leaves, I didn't know if he dropped the gun or whatever. And then I keep playing it back. And I'm like, well, crap. Looks like he ran out of his freaking shoes. So I don't know if he's wearing flip-flops or what. But yeah, he's freaking running barefoot because he just ran right out of his shoes. And they're chasing him through buildings and stuff. And now they end up in the back of this, like, apartment complex. And he's armed while he's running, and they're yelling at him. And yeah, there's pretty good video of the shoot that goes down. And you could argue about, you know, communication or you know, how many guys were running through with weapons drawn and chasing him and stuff, because there was a narrow funnel that they had to run through, Travis, as you saw. So what do you think?
I thought it was a phenomenal video, and I just don't understand why we keep seeing this. I would love for one attorney or advocate or activist to just say, drop the gun. Don't run with guns. Like, it's really this simple. Like, they're going to take this and, oh, he wasn't pointing a gun and he wasn't doing this, and he was just a lost little child because of his daddy issues, and he was having trouble in school. Can we just at least just go, don't run with guns. Don't present guns with law enforcement. I don't understand why no one is saying this ever. Maybe it's because we keep talking about this and that's what they exactly want. So I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Sheriff.
I just want to say that that would never happen in the state of Washington because he was running with an extended magazine, and anything above 10 rounds is illegal in the state of Washington. So that just... that whole scenario would not have happened here. Wow. Once again, Travis, that's sarcasm.
So
sorry, I'm just trying to break a nicotine habit, so I want to kill both of you right now. But
you know, and it's funny because I'm sure that both of you were taught action versus reaction all during your defensive tactics and your firearms training. So we all know that it takes him a lot less time to point that gun at you than it does for you to react to his action.
All right, guys, we're going to the commercial break. See you on the other side. All right, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. There has been some new stuff with GunLearn, guys, so pay attention. Now, GunLearn, number one, it's the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. So here's the deal and here's the change. If you have become a certified firearm specialist, even if you did it 5 years ago, now that certification is worth college credits. Why, you ask? That is because GunLearn.com, they have now partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners to create college degrees or to create, I guess, college credits and to attach them to the certification. So it makes it even more inviting to get it. Now, they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. LEO Roundtable at LEORoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State, and also Tulsa Police Major Travis Yates, author of The Courageous Police Leader as well. And you know, Travis, I got to give another plug because we've been talking about, you know, the this use of force, you know, with the bad guy. But you've been talking about pre-attack indicators, and that is your new passion, and you've got focuscertified.com. Can you kind of spell it out for our audience, just kind of like whet the appetite a little bit and tell them where they get more information?
Yeah, obviously, focuscertified.com kind of lines that out. We have classes all across the country scheduled now, but I didn't necessarily fall into this. I've been teaching pre-attack indicators as a class for many, many years. I've been to Washington, I've been to Idaho, I've been to a lot of states teaching that. It's just kind of a fun passion class, but it wasn't until I saw that there had been no actual research done on this topic that I think the sheriff would agree. We've been teaching for 50 years or more. I mean, we've been teaching this in law enforcement, but nobody nowhere decided to actually do research to validate what occurs right before violence. But every other profession has, the law enforcement, like clinicians and doctors and psychologists and EMTs and corrections all have validated systems, which I find rather shocking that no one has decided to do this for law enforcement. In fact, I think it's probably sinister on why they haven't. Why wouldn't they? Meanwhile, in the last 10 years, officer assaults have increased 80%. So the issue is getting worse. And so we decided to do the research and work on validation. And we launched a new updated course on pre-attack indicators. And that's where you find it, focuscertified.com.
All right. I love it. And it's all about saving lives. And we should have been doing this a long time ago. So thanks for what you do, Travis. Appreciate it. And guys, if you any more commentary on the last video, or are you guys ready to go to video number two? You ready? All right, so let's go ahead and hop on board. We are still at rumble.com and still at our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Now we're dealing with a suicidal woman who ends up being fatally shot when she enters the home with two large knives.
Which one? Is there anyone else here?
There is a there's a situation here. We'll talk about it. But Mundelein, Illinois, we have body cam footage released by authorities. It shows this police officer there fatally shooting a woman who police said approached officers and a family member while armed with two large knives. The shooting happened just before 6 p.m. on May the 11th at a home. I thought it looked more like an apartment, but police initially responded to a report of a suicidal woman who had made statements indicating that she wanted officers to kill her. So when officers get there, they bring in shields and stuff. They're talking to a family member when they enter the home, and they're getting information. So the family member is an elderly woman, and I mean, like, dude, she can barely move, right? And so the camera angle, it's a sad ending, but it's pretty good, because with the body cam, you can see the elderly woman, and they're just trying to talk to her, saying, hey, look, you know, they're looking through the glass sliding door, and you can see the female that's sitting down in the chair on the other side, and she's armed with at least one knife. And you can see one, but they say that there were two, and they're telling the old lady, who didn't notice that she was armed, that she's got the knife. Does she really have a knife? And yeah. So then they get to the point to where there's some statements being made by the female that's supposedly suicidal on the other side of the glass door. But you can see all the players, right? You just can't see the people in the back with the shields. And so now they know, okay, look, this is escalating. We got to get this female, elderly female, out of the way, because if that door opens, now we're in a situation where we got, you know, a suicidal female with a knife. It's not going to be pretty. They can't move her. I mean, where they had like two guys, you know what, Travis, two guys trying to pick her up and move her, and they couldn't get her. So because they couldn't move her, and I'm not really faulting law enforcement, but because they're trying to grab the elderly female who's now trying to get out the glass sliding door to go interact with the female with the knives, they're not going to let that happen, at least. But they couldn't move her. The female stands up, opens up the slider door. She's coming in. She's got at least one knife, and they shoot her, and she ends up dying. So that's the way that goes down, unfortunately. I wasn't there. I don't know. And I know that if someone doesn't want to be moved, it can be very difficult. But because of that, that made it worse. Travis Yates.
Yeah. I mean, that's what is, people don't understand. There's never been in any altercations whatsoever that set back and judge law enforcement. If one person, no matter their size, doesn't want to be handcuffed, doesn't want to move, good luck. You know, it takes overwhelming force to do that. And so people will watch these videos and go, why did it take three or four people on top of this guy? Because he's not compliant. And you can't just force people to do it one-on-one typically, right? So people that always say that, and I wish our leaders would come out more stronger. I mean, many do, but I mean, we should not let people get away with saying this, because they clearly have never been in any altercations whatsoever. It's just, if someone refuses to do anything, good luck getting them to actually do it physically. It's very difficult.
Sure.
Yeah, the only thing that I saw during the whole thing, and it looked like it was fairly crowded, and I know both of you have probably been in those houses that you can barely move in. I would have liked to have seen them lock that door. The sliding glass door was open by 2 or 3 inches. If they had just pulled that in, but trying to get her out of the way expeditiously when somebody's coming at the door and opening the door with a knife, kind of leaves you very little option. And it looked like she, I don't know if you watched the video really well, but it almost looked like she had a body brace on. So I don't know if she had some injury or some disease that made her, but it looked like she had a body brace on underneath her robe as well. So trying to move her out of the way without injuring her significantly is tough as well. But yeah, just a bad situation all the way around.
And you know, maybe a good opportunity for us to talk about, you know, compliance. It's not just for bad guys, it's for good guys too. And I'm not faulting the elderly woman. I know that comprehension wise, she just wasn't able to process, you know, things, and it is what it is. But I know that she didn't want them to have to shoot, you know, her daughter, whoever the relationship was with the female that was suicidal. But she increased the chances of that happening, and it did, because she was there, and the cops were worried about the female stabbing the elderly woman. So if she would have complied and willingly gotten out of the picture, there's a chance that shooting never would have happened, and the suicidal chick would have got the help that she needed. But so that's what I'm just saying. When police tell you the deuce, guys, don't challenge them. If you want to complain later or file a criminal complaint, if it's really bad, do it. But on the scene, there's things you just don't know, things that you shouldn't know. And even when I get pulled over, things that I don't know, if they tell me to get out of the car, stand on one foot and put my hands behind my back or whatever, I'm doing it. I'm not going to argue. I can argue later. But this is a perfect example on why it's just so important. They are aware of stuff that you are not. Do what they tell you to do. Any final words, gentlemen, on this one? Or, well, we've got another story. We may have just barely enough time to cover it. We're going to go to Miami again. So Rumble.com, this is Butter. Miami-Dade Sheriff, they released a body cam of a deputy shooting a 15-year-old.
Hey, hands! Hey, I'm going to shoot you! Shot fired! Hey, do not move! Do not move!
I'm going to go quickly through this one. And the deputies opened fire. Is a dangerous confrontation in Southwest Miami-Dade neighborhood. A 15-year-old went to the hospital, so apparently he didn't die. But according to the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office, the shooting occurred back in April. There was a confrontation with a teen. Apparently, the cops roll up, and you got a bunch of teens that end up running away. You got a 15-year-old running away, and he's got a gun in his hands. And look, it goes fluently, but our cop sees the gun in the guy's hand, and he's verbalizing quite well. And he ends up shooting him. Teen goes down. Now, the teen was only grazed in the ankle and transported to the medical center, so he's going to survive. But the weapon that the 15-year-old was carrying had an extended clip with about 20 rounds in it. And the agency said that, the cop showed up. And, you know, it's just like everybody like splits off and starts running. But at least the cop was sharp enough to see, to be aware of the weapon. And so deputies arrested the 15-year-old Cornelius Lamont Comer and his 17-year-old Phil Phillips. And they're facing a lot of charges. Commentary on this one, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed at the training that, they've got to slow this video down and highlight certain. I mean, these officers just recognize those things very quickly. And once again, the sheriff's right. That would not have happened in Washington because that extended magazine was illegal.
Wow. See what you started? See the can of worms you opened up now, Sheriff? Huh?
I think this, the other thing that this kind of highlights is the fact that body camera, the view from a body camera is not the same as the view from a human eye. And I think that when you testify in court, you really need to drive that home. And I think that when we release these body cam videos, it's incumbent upon the people that are putting the videos out to explain, hey, he is seeing more than you're able to see on that body cam video. But here's the other thing. You don't want to get shot by the police as a 15-year-old. Don't run around with a gun that you're not supposed to have, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what he thought the cops were supposed to do. So another great show. Thank you so much, Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County and retired major, from from Tulsa Police Department, Travis Yates. And, you know, I will talk in a second about how guys can get in touch with you if they want to, but I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3. And also, guys, please support our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Don't forget that discount code, Radio15, to get 15% off. ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, MedicareLife, and Two Bells. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.